How many people, without any help of anyone else, you can drive your own self crazy? Okay, there's a few people, and I'm with you at times. Okay, so here's the point. Do you have a much-needed item in your life, but you can never find it? Okay, you don't have to yell them out. I'm going to show you a few of mine. Okay, and you ask the question, has anybody seen it? Has anybody seen, you know, the item I'm looking for? You know, it's items like this, like, and after a while, see, if you ever do any sort of clean-out, you realize, I said, like the other day, I said, my goodness, we have 3 tape measures. Why? I mean, they just keep showing up, right? So there's the tape measures. My wife will say to me, you took my screwdrivers again. I'm like, honey, here's some screwdrivers for your birthday, okay? Which is next weekend. Then, you know, the other thing is, oh, this is the other funny thing. Anybody seen a pen? Okay. And I realized, like, we are criminals in my home. We've got all these church pens, but we can never find any of them, so we keep grabbing the ones here and bringing them home. All right. The other one is, like, I'm a flashlight guy. I'm like, you know, I'm into flashlights. I like them all. I like the ones that blind you, like, including this one right here. All right. So, okay. But the one that's kind of funny to me, it's like you strike it rich. I went to clean my car the other day, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. I got, like, so many. And you keep, every time you're at Dollar Tree, you just pick up another pair because you can't find them, right? Oh, you get it, right? You know, did you hear about the guy, I thought this was interesting, did you hear about the guy who's stranded on an island, and when somebody eventually arrives there years later, they notice 3 buildings, and the guy, curious of, there's one guy, 3 buildings, and he said, sir, what can you tell me about who lives here? He goes, well, I live here. He goes, well, what's that building? He goes, that's my house. He goes, well, what's that building? He goes, well, that's my church. He says, well, what's that building? He goes, well, that's the church I used to go to. So, you know, is that like new meaning to you, misplacing your church, right? Is that what happens when we, you know, it's like, oh, where's that building again we're supposed to drive to today? I would say all that to say sometimes we don't even realize what we have. We're like, we're sitting on stuff. We find old things like, I forgot I had this, you know, and then you realize you think you're going to use it again and you don't use it. They say if you've not used it for 6 months, good chance you're not going to use it. But, you know, I know you think you find it, you're going to use it, right? I think the Christian, the believer, doesn't recognize their true position and their true wealth. And they live as if they are, like, just looking. They're looking for, if I can say it this way, they're like almost looking for a new accessory of Christianity. Just a new thing. I just, you know, I need to go here, need to buy a new book, I need to get this. And sometimes if we would just be honest and say, we need to look at what the Scripture says regarding what our true wealth and our riches are in Him. Amen. I'm thinking about this idea of building wisely. And I could give this, and I thought about, okay, I'm going to give a message of, you know, our church needs to really build wisely. And I'm all on board with that. But as I studied and I looked and I saw more, I can't wait to tell you. I want to let you in on a couple of secrets this morning that are really laying hold of my own heart as we embark on a new time in the future of our church. But I think we should be thinking about more than just tips of wisdom, just how are we going to do all this? How's it all going to work out? You know, where's all that money coming from? Hence the bigger buckets. This church has been very generous and we're very grateful. But I said the question, it's kind of an inventory question this morning. Do we know what we have, the true wealth and the riches that already belong to us, right? So many act like I got nothing. They feel like they broke. They have no money, or they're struggling, or it's a life of one continual struggle. I want to share a verse to get us going. I've been in the book of Colossians for some of my study this week, and then I put some scriptures in the back of your bulletin. They'll also, those four will come up on the screen. But the apostle speaks about the mystery that the Gentiles would be brought in. In other words, every person outside of Israel has always had an opportunity to respond to God. But this mystery that was hidden in ages past is about the church. And that's how when a person comes in to understand what Christ did, God receives them. He puts them in this wonderful organism called the church, the bride of Christ. And that's us. We are the bride of Christ. Christ loves us. That's why when we've been speaking about the Antichrist, I think the bigger theme today, this is a message about Jesus Christ. Next week we'll go back to the Antichrist. He's, definitely don't want to overstate. But there's a lot that we should know about prophecy and things that are still coming upon the earth. But this is a message really about understanding what Christ has given to us. And this idea that Paul speaks of in Colossians chapter 1, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations but now is disclosed to the Lord's people. In other words, God wants you to know this. He wants you to know it. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles. If you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. Just accept it, okay? If you're not of Jewish descent, and it's very difficult today to know, who are the actual true Jews? But in other words, there is a Jewish nation, a Jewish people. God knows who they are. And then there are Gentiles in the other nations. And most of us will fall into that category. And God has done this amazing thing through his son, Jesus, that he makes us part of his church by simply believing the gospel. He makes us part of his family. And Jew or Gentile, anybody who gets truly saved today, and that means that you really know why you need to be saved, not just, I hope I'm saved, I kind of just hope I'm saved. No, you should know that you're saved, and you should understand why Christ came. He came to pay a debt you could not pay. And that debt has been fully satisfied by Jesus and the blood that he shed for us. Accepting him and accepting that payment is enough. Not only that, when that happens in the life of any believer, God seals that person forever. Marked. You're a sealed individual. You can't get out of it. You may make a mess, and you may live like you're not much like a believer. And that's a shame. And that's not good. And there's consequences for that. And that gets dealt with at the judgment seat of Christ. Because when we see Jesus, we're going to be made to be like him. And he's going to say, what did you do with the salvation I gave you? And it can be, and there's going to be tears there. Like, oh my goodness, what was I thinking? And so that's just part of this, and this is what happens. But Paul would go on to say, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. And here's the newsflash, which is Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you know that Jesus Christ lives and abides in the believer? He's placed a brand new nature in there that he can dwell. And he doesn't bounce in and out. He can be certainly grieved. And we want to be careful about doing that. But I want to think about how do we stay in this amazing, amazing position that belongs to us as believers? Paul would say early in the book of Ephesians, in him. See, Christ is in us, and we are also in him. Whoa. It's like, whoa. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, this grand story that Jesus Christ left, occupied an infant, grew up completely sinless, dies on a cross for the sins of the world, rises again on the third day, just as the scripture says, and he paid a payment that everyone can get in on. How good is God? How good is the Lord? You also, after hearing the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit of promise. Enjoy this. This is good stuff. This is great. And the Bible also, Paul would explain to the Corinthians, who were a very challenged group of people. They were carnal. That word will come up in the book of Corinthians. He says that you actually can't even handle the meat. You can only handle milk. You can only handle the basics because they were carnal. They were thinking about fleshly appetites. And a lot had to get confronted in the early church. But Paul just says this. He goes on to, in his second letter, he says, if any person be in Christ, you're in him as a believer, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Let God do that transaction and don't argue about it, okay? Let God do that, and he says he will do that, and he's done that. It is... The apostle explains it this way to us. He says, my goal is that they may, in speaking to us this morning, that they may be encouraged in heart. Are you encouraged in heart this morning? And united in love? Are you united in this glorious truth that if any person in this room be in Christ, they are a new creation? So that they may have the full riches of complete understanding. God doesn't want you having partial understanding. He wants you to have complete understanding. Do you want to know it all? You should, right? You should want to know more. I should too. We should crave to know. We should hunger to know. Just like those crockpots out there. Some of you already just, you're just so distracted by those crockpots. You are just thinking about them right now and you can't get them out of your head. But we should be craving Jesus like we would crave a delicious meal. We would want to crave him. Because he talks about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. He's not talking about eating his actual flesh. He's like consuming his words that belong to the believer. Is that you this morning? Do you want to grow in him? So united in love, so that you may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God. And here's this thing that just blew my mind. Namely, Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am here to tell you this morning, this church doesn't just need wisdom, it needs Jesus, because wisdom is Jesus. He is the wisdom of the ages. He's everything that we need and know. And as we embark upon anything with him and for him, we are not doing without his supply. He is the one who will provide us what we need, and we should be confident of that. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. Are you rejoicing in that this morning? Are you just kind of living in the dumps because something just isn't going right? Are you building yourself up in your most holy faith? Or are you just dragging your old flesh around as if you just can't wait to die and go to heaven? My goodness, don't you want a grand entrance? I sure do. I want to say, my Jesus, I've been speaking about you for a long time. Finally, I get to see you face to face. I'm going to fall flat on my face and thank him for everything that he made possible. Because remember what Jesus says? All that I have is yours. He's a great sharer. He wants us in on this deal. Our Lord is a great and awesome God. Some of us need to learn to share a little bit more. Hey, I got plenty of glasses if you need them. Oh, cool. Speaking of that, I need a little water here. Anyway, so I've been really seeing that, you know, what we crave, what we really should see ourselves as, we crave wisdom from God, crave Jesus. Crave him. If in him who are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and he wants to open those up to you, should you not get in on it? Is he not the one who instructs the apostle that he's a wise master builder? If we are in Christ, he is all wisdom to us and for us. Having our life and our church in him is where it should be at. We are being built up by Jesus. And guess what? He will show us. We should be expecting God to do great things. God's already done great things in this church. It's floored me, and I recognize in the light of even studying spiritual warfare and battle, we are living in very difficult times. And we have a very real enemy who hates the guts of the church, because the church is the reminder that he has been defeated. And Satan has a certain amount of leash and license to still do some things, even with demons, to harass believers. I've talked to believers recently feeling harassed by Satan. And I'm like, I'm praying with some people in our church that God would just deliver people, not so much who are directly in here this day, but people who know people in their family who absolutely believe that there's a demonic harassment going on. And that can pull down the believer. See, we must remain fortified in our lives. That's why prayer meeting is so important. I love the vulnerability of people going around in that prayer group and just being honest with each other and saying, you know what, I need prayer for this. And we want to camp on that. We pray. Paul's talking about we're united in love. See, God's left us here for a reason. Not without hope. He sealed us. He sent his comfort of the Holy Spirit. God's never going to leave you, believer, ever. You should know that. No matter what circumstance you're in this morning, God's not going to leave you. You're not alone this morning. I need to hear that too. Okay, I'm just going to preach to myself. And I sometimes, if we believe the same lie over and over again, we start to think it's truth. And people can feel abandoned, feel forsaken. And it's not a good place to be. That's why you are like, every time you walk into the church, you're getting closer to the fire. Now, I don't want you to get burned, but I want you to get hot. Right? Jesus wants you hot. He wants you hot. He wants you hot knowing that he's with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is the one who says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Coronavirus, you know it. And every other crazy thing that we're hearing today and stuff that can just drive our own brain crazy. Nobody wants to go anywhere. You know, it's like, I'm just going to like, you know, I was in a Home Depot the other day buying paint and all the masks are gone. I'm like, can't even buy a mask in Home Depot. Like they're out at 8 a.m, you know, like what's up? I mean, really? I don't want anyone to get sick, and we've been talking about should we have like the official fist bump greeting around here? No hands, just fist bump. Aaron's a great fist bumper. He'll teach you how. I don't want to get too off track here, but I do think that this is the type of thing that I'm beginning to realize that wisdom, and of course, God wants us to make good decisions, and He wants us to make wise decisions. But wisdom is really a person. It's him. I want to share a couple of verses, I believe, where wisdom is personified in Scripture. Proverbs chapter 8. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. Wow. You know, sometimes it doesn't take long for you to get brought into some conversation like, man, this is just going nowhere. It's going nowhere fast. It's just amazing what can come out of the heart of man. I mean, just everyday conversations. People just like, you know, they just let words fly. They don't care. And it's like they don't care. They don't even think about what they're saying. It's like if you come around and like, oh, I'm a Christian. Like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, well, don't say sorry to me. Really know that Christ can change you too. And I've got this cool little insight I want to share with you in a couple minutes about evangelism. But the Proverbs writer of Proverbs chapter 8 says, I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule. God is encompassing himself here, I believe, as wisdom. And he's saying, like Jesus says, come and buy from me. See, he is the source of all wisdom. Our church needs a lot of wisdom. But what our church really needs is more of Jesus. That's where this is at this morning. On the back of your bulletin, four verses I just want to look at for a couple of minutes. Scripture says that through wisdom a house is built. And by understanding it is established. You know, I think about the way that God has set up the local church. There is tremendous wisdom, and I, as a pastor, am seeing that more and more. There are protections built into the structure of the local church that we don't want to forget. And God can do that. God can establish an order to things because the Bible says that, you know, we want to do all things decently and in order. Because you know why? Lives are helped when things are done orderly. You know that first question I said to you? How many people can just drive themselves crazy? You get that, right? Because sometimes in some of those moments, there's a lack of order, and you see what that your own chaos is causing you. Someone said to me one time years ago when I was working for John DeBrine, you know, prior planning prevents poor performance. I'm a big P guy, okay? I like those, you know, those alliterations or, you know, those type of ideas where they stick. You know, prior planning prevents poor performance. So many things in our life, if we would just think about, okay, how is this going to have a consequence, not necessarily tomorrow, but in a year from now? And then, like, you go weeks and months and you realize, my goodness, I paid a dear price for that decision. This is not a guilt trip. I am here to tell you this morning, if you are in Christ this morning, you are a new creation. And that's the place that you grow. That's the place that you are to camp on. But there's wisdom. But God will guide, and God will guide this church into our future. I really believe that, because I believe our church is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I am committed to. But anyway, so he says here, by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. It is great when you come into someone's home and it's like, my goodness, these people have a sense of order, and they thought about the way this place looks, and they care about things, and there's hospitality, there's things, good stuff going on. Kind of like when come to your house, Gail and Pat. You guys just are the king and queen of hospitality, just so you know. You guys just get it done. You make people feel comfortable. And some people just have a sense of, they have that gift of hospitality. Some of us, we have other gifts, and we want to do that. My wife and I love to have people over, but I realize sometimes, like, you know what? We're having company, and it puts us on a deadline, and we say, we got to get all the pens back in the drawer and all the glasses, you know, and we find stuff we didn't. Anyway, do you still love me? Yeah, okay. You know, with a wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel, you will wage your own war. You know, I've watched this church in the last 3 to 6 months navigate through some difficult time, but I am so thankful for the godly men in this church who've been with me and guided me, the godly women who have been in this church who've guided me and prayed, and they are there. And see, because this is a supernatural, this is a spiritual battle that we are in. Do not be fooled by that. You think that your life is like just like I'm just my own boss. No, you're not, okay? And either you belong to Satan or you belong to God. That's just blunt. That's just the way it is. God wants you in Christ, and he wants all those riches that belong to you in Christ to be yours. And as the church continues to grow, and we talk about where we're going as a church and what we would hope to do someday, we want to make sure that we are craving the wisdom. We are craving Jesus more and more, craving his revelation. Just the things that he has for us to know, not setting them aside, not dismissing them. Oh, I don't really need, I only want to stay in the Gospels. No, you should want to know that whole Bible and how those pieces fit together. You want to see what God has done uniquely right now in this time. It's called the Day of the Church. And that church has one guaranteed promise. It's called the Rapture. Guess what? I've said it before. We can get that building built. We're going to have our first service. And like the night before, we're all in heaven. Okay? Who's showing up there? Right? You know, just grab onto somebody. You know, you don't want to be left behind. Grab onto somebody. Grab onto the words of life. And Jesus has them for you. Our Savior's awesome. Our Savior proved that he was awesome. He fulfilled the Old Testament scriptures to a T. Not one thing that he's... And some things are yet to be fulfilled by Jesus. Some things are still guaranteed as part of the future. But Christ's earthly ministry fulfilled the scriptures. Jesus actually says in Luke chapter 4, today this scripture is being... He's reading the scriptures, reading from Isaiah. He says, right here, right now, this scripture is being fulfilled in your midst. My God is so awesome. He's so awesome. Paul would say it this way, according to the grace of God. See, do you realize, are you enjoying the grace of God this morning? Just enjoy it. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder. Paul wasn't looking for this. Saul of Tarsus was an enemy of Jesus. And Jesus has a direct encounter with this one named Saul and calls him out and says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? See, all persecution is really against Jesus. I mean, sure, it's on the church and the individuals feel that. But really, a believer who's being persecuted, that's on that person against Jesus. And God takes that very seriously. And God's going to make that right. That's why we can pray. There's people all over the world today known as the persecuted church. They live in places like Pakistan, in India, in China. Some of the stuff going on in China right now. Just being there. I mean, it's a hard environment to actually let your flag get waved for Jesus. Some people do that. Some pastors have been preaching in these yellow suits in the streets that Christ is their only hope that they have. And they're willing to take the hit for that. I was listening to a show yesterday on persecution put out by Voice of the Martyrs, and you can find a lot of this stuff online if you're interested. But we live very comfortably here in America. I understand that our message seems to be more and more people seem to want to diminish it, or don't hold it up, and you can't say Jesus is the only way. Yes, I can, and I will. Because I don't see, and all the other religious offerings on this planet, no one loves you the way Christ loved you. No one did what he did for you. No one can claim that he was God in human flesh. Jesus can. So Paul says, according to the grace of God which was given to me, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, likely up there too. Thank you guys. I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. This is how we invest our lives now and use our time wisely in Christ by the strength of the Holy Spirit to do the things that really matter to God. You do not have to make up your Christian service. You should get your marching orders from the Word of God. And that's what we're going to talk about in that next meeting. But let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the starting point for all of this. When he says, I will build my church, he means it, because he is the foundation. He is the cornerstone. He is the one who absolutely is the foundation for the church and the apostles. His teaching was carried through the apostles. And today, to this very moment, you and I benefit from the living word of God as spoken through Christ's apostles. When you read the red letters of Jesus and you read Romans, you're reading Jesus' thoughts. Okay, it's all scripture. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's able for correction, for reproof, for training in righteousness. See, real righteous living is knowing who you are already in Christ. That's true righteousness. I got something that I did not have before. I got it freely. Dennis, don't worry, I'm not jumping off, brother. He said to me last week, get too close to that edge. But I got something that I didn't deserve. It's not because I'm like, oh, I'm like the worst sinner on the planet. I mean, some people, you know, they have the I'm the worst sinner on the planet party. We get that, right? But that's not anything. Paul says, you know, he talks about, some people think that he was saying that, you know, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the chief. He's like, so is Paul the worst sinner there ever lived? No. He's saying, I'm a pattern of how the sinner becomes saved and then thinks correctly about the thoughts of God. And to live that way, to live not, you understand how you reconcile that old thing in you that doesn't want to cooperate with God for one second. But you have to see that thing already been nailed to the cross. God sees your old nature is already dead and gone. He moved it. The scripture says he moved it out of the way. You're a free person. Now, yeah, you can still sin. That's true, right? We get that. That can still happen. But that's not you anymore. And the more you see that that's not me in God's eyes, that gives you the impetus to want to please him. Because God's not holding that against you anymore. Amen. Christ is the foundation. Okay, here's my new snapshot on evangelism. Evangelism is bragging on Jesus. All right? If you want to think about evangelism, think about you're bragging on somebody who is everything. In him is all the wisdom. In him is everything that I need. In him is a completely new person. In him is precious blood shed for me on that cross. And I'm in him. and I have His righteousness now. Evangelism should be much more than just a program, and that we're so scared to death about doing it. If you go to a good restaurant, do you not tell somebody? If you get some new, like ladies, if you get some new cream, I tried this cream. This stuff is like awesome. Like my hands have never felt more new, right? And then you tell people, and it's like you're bragging on the product. We should brag on our Savior. Our church should be bragging on Him, because He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. And that you really get to know that as you read His Word. I want to tell you a story just a moment. We're going to wrap up here momentarily. So Paul talks about being a wise master builder. We're not trying to lay a new foundation. We're not just trying to build a church for our sake. We want to make Jesus well known to this community. I want people to know Him. And I want to get to know Him better. I want to be able to communicate about Him more effectively. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. He's promised that He's coming. And we want people ready when they see Him and enjoying Him now. I want to enjoy Jesus right now. You guess what? I'm going to just be honest with you. I'm enjoying Him right now. Right now in front of you, I enjoy Him. And He would say in Matthew chapter 24, Matthew writes, therefore, whoever, speaking, this is Jesus speaking, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Who's the rock? Christ. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. That is the believer in Jesus Christ. No matter how bad the storms get and how many tears you and I can shed and how much we're squirming our way out of these messes and wish we could just send them all away, Jesus is faithful. And you will sometimes never know His strength unless you trust Him in that trial. In other words, Jesus, I'm going to embrace this trial. That's why James would say, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, because the testing of your faith produces endurance. In other words, this test is an opportunity for me to get closer to Him, rely upon His power. Paul says he would gladly boast in his weakness that the power of Christ would rest upon him. You know, the devil may try to bring it on. Your flesh may try to bring it on. People's bodies are just failing. And it's just stuff happening. But I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today, right? I know it. I'm convinced of it. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, I love this, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God isn't holding back from you people. He's not holding back from us. Because in Christ are all the treasures and all the wisdom that we need to move forward. Everything we need. I was struck by this story. See, the more I grow in my walk with Christ, the more I realize I need intimacy with Jesus more than I need anything else. I need time with Him. I need to understand Him. And I get that as I encounter Him in His Word. Remember that story after He's been crucified and He's resurrected? The ladies go off. They get to the tomb. And that tomb is empty. There are grave clothes there. And they bolt back. Right? These ladies, you guys, you were on it. They bolt back and they tell the disciples. Now, I'm going to just bring it into Luke chapter 24, verse 13. Now behold, two of the disciples, speaking of them, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to use one of my pairs of glasses here. There we go. All right. Actually, I think black looks better with the shirt. So, sorry. Okay. Sure. All right. Here we go. Oh, this is so much better. And now behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. In other words, okay, you know, sometimes when you hear something's going to happen and then you just don't want to believe it's going to happen because you know it sounds like it's really bad. And Jesus was saying, he even told Peter at one point, Satan, get behind me. Peter's trying to prevent Christ from going to that cross. So here it all happens, that everything happened just as Jesus said it would happen. And now Jesus is gone Jesus is gone, and these people are grieving over the fact that he is gone. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Wow. He shows up. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" Isn't that, Lord, awesome? "What things? Fill me in." So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed." Hear their testimony here? This is their testimony. Their eyes reveal, they don't even know it's Jesus. So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and a certain woman of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who had said he was alive. And a certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. Then he said to them, 'Oh, foolish ones, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have to suffer these things and to enter his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." This is what Jesus did right then, and he explained, "I am him." Now these people are experiencing fellowship with the risen, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. You and I can have the same fellowship. As we pore over this book, as we understand it better, as we crave God for wisdom in these days, we really should be craving Jesus. Craving him more and more like never before. Craving everything that he wants for us to know, because he knows what we're up against. We can trust him. I pray as we get closer to Easter, you're going to think about who to invite here. As you think about what we're going to do in that room next door in just a few minutes, how is God wanting to use you in this time, in this church, in his church? How are you and I going to get more intimate with him, trusting him for wisdom, trusting him for guidance? I pray, please pray with me as we'll do that together. Lord, I pray this morning that this would be a day that we would see ourselves as in great need, but have great supply. That we have a wonderful Father, wonderful Savior. We have the Holy Spirit who is working all things together for his good, for those who love God and those who are called according to his purposes. I want to thank you for this theme of building wisely. We want to build our lives on the rock. The rock is Jesus. And we pray that, Lord, our desire for him would just be so, we would be magnified by his presence in our life. We would, our own eyes would be opened up, that we would see things that we've never seen before. That is as if my Lord is speaking directly to me. And we would say, "Lord, here I am. Send me. Help me to go out and brag on you. Help me to invite people who are downtrodden, who need you, who have never ever experienced new life in Christ." That our evangelism in this church, as we go to build the next building, as we ask you for guidance in this whole process, Lord, that you would show us exactly what's next. We thank you, we love you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.